So, are we going to talk about the documentary about the most influential comedian of our time, of our generation?
So good. So
Yes.
good.
Steve.
But
Haven't
I
seen it.
agree with you, Jim. Have you seen it yet, Jason?
I haven't. I've been meaning to. I know what you're talking about. You're
I
talking about the
don't.
Richard Pryor documentary, right?
How dare you, sir? How
Well,
dare
that's pretty
you?
good too. He's pretty
It's
big.
pretty
So
good.
he's
Yeah.
up
Would be
there. He's
fine.
in top three for sure.
Are you
Penitentiaries.
talking about Steve Martin?
Steve Martin in two parts. In two
Yes.
parts.
Yes.
It's almost like a then and now, but he really does. The documentary really does show that he's had two very distinct careers. He has the stand-up career, in the origins. And Jim and I both talked about this before of how we sort of favor that one over the second one, which is when he decides at the height of fame, he says, you know what? Where can I go from here? I'm going to go watch the movies.
I'm gonna write and direct Shopped Girl. That's it.
That's
Well, the
right.
funny
That's
thing is,
right.
it's not even career-wise. It's like, are you going to be shut off from the world, or are you going to open yourself up? So that's the whole thing. It's funny, you see the driven thing, all the stuff we like, all those shows. He did so many shows and so many movies so quickly, and all those, like I said, all the stand-up. I didn't know all the stand-up happened before the big Wild and Crazy Guy. All the failures was interesting to see,
Oh my gosh.
but yeah,
That's
you
why his
see
hair's
him.
white. It's
That's why
very
I like
stressful.
the first one I liked, because he was definitely in it. But the second one I'm warming up a little bit. I thought it was there's a little too much what I said filler with him and Martin Short just sitting around talking. I guess people wanted kind of to feel that, but I did like when he read Planes, Trains, and Automobiles at the John Candy scene and started
He
to
got
tear
choked
up.
up.
That was real powerful.
That's sweet.
Well, the thing about it is, and he says it quite a bit. I don't want to give it away because I want our friend Jason to actually watch it. But he does repeat several times of how his life is backwards. That when he was in his 20s and 30s, he was quite anxious and just horrible. Just was closed off by everyone. Did not really know how to express himself. Had real issues with a father that showed no affection whatsoever and stuff like that. And now that he's 70, what, 72, 73, he's like, I'm having the best time of my life now. I have a daughter that I completely love, a wife that I love. He's very open. He has friendships. And he's like, this is backwards. Normally, you sort of tend to shut yourself off as you get older, as we've talked about before. Us being aged, that's sort of what happens. And he's like, I'm really enjoying life. So in that sense, it was really good, but it was sort of amazing. I love it whenever, like I mentioned this when we were talking about the Patriots documentary, the one on Apple. What is it called?
Dynasty or something like that, yeah.
Dynasty. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but same kind of thing, which is I love whenever documentaries sort of show people that are super talented, super famous, and all that, but they weren't born that way. And Steve Martin actually addresses that. He's like, he felt like he did not have talent, which is so untrue. He didn't have talent and all that, but he wasn't accepted for what he was doing because it was so opposite of what everyone else was doing. And he failed so many times before, people started getting it,
Yeah.
in that sense. And I love that. I love that story. So
Good stuff. And
good stuff.
I can see the heartwarming Steve happening when I watched the actual master class last year. I said, this is kind of a different person. He's like really open to the students and stuff like that. Really kind of. So yeah. But yeah, check it out. It's on Apple. Let's go ahead and start the show.
With the internet gone, info on the past is traded like currency. Three men are hired to go back through time to find out exactly what happened, so the future can rebuild. This is the mission of the crispy coated robots, and it must succeed.
Hey, it's Jim.
And it's Joseph.
And it's Jason.
It It is, Jason. Today, it's all about food in movies, the best movie food. And we're talking about stuff that, you know, is you know, important to the scene, or we might not even see the food. Just they talk about it so much, it sounds so good. Or it could be so shocking that something they eat is shocking. You're like, oh, crap, they're eating that as food, you know. But it is the best food mentions and scenes in movies today.
Absolutely. Right. I think whenever I think of like a great food scene is one that becomes as memorable as any line in the movie or any character in the movie or any action in the movie. Like when you talk about a movie, there are certain food scenes that you're like, you go to. And I got some of those listed. I'm yes. telling you, this was a hard decision for me because if we did honorable mentions, Jim, I would have like 20.
Yeah.
I would have 20.
That's why we don't do them.
That's right.
I have the tastiest list. You're going to love it.
Oh really? Nice.
Yeah. I got a feeling it's okay with Jason. You never know. Joseph, what's your number five today?
Number five answers a simple question. How many eggs can a man eat? I'm talking about 1967 Cool Hand Luke. This is the iconic Paul Newman, you know, in the prison that makes a bet that he can eat 50 hard-boiled eggs. And he does it, and it's quite a scene where he does it. They thump his stomach, and it's like a ripe watermelon, you know, kind of thing. My number five is Cool Hand Luke's hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah. Ooh, very nice. Jason, your number five.
My number five is the bowl of snot. That's right.
Oh,
The concoction that they think is tasty wheat. It's a single cell protein combined with synthetic amino vitamins and minerals. Everything the body needs. It's the porridge that they eat in The Matrix. 1999, The Matrix, when they're on the Nebuchadnezzar and they don't really have anything green to eat, they have the bowl of snot.
Oh,
you're welcome.
All right. Well, mine goes back to our before the show talk about Steve Martin. It is escargot from The Jerk. A memorable scene, of course, when Navin Johnson first gets into high society and goes out to dinner with Bernadette Peters, and he says, "Don't look down, Marie. There are snails on your plate." This is, of course, right after he says, "Can you bring us some fresh wine? No more of this 1950s stuff." But yeah, he says, "There are snails on your plate. Get them off immediately." So
Bernadette Peters like starts whimpering.
So the great escargot scene in the high society, Navin Johnson beginning in The Jerk, is my number five.
Wasn't Steve Martin the waiter in the Muppet movie, and he brought him the wine and said, "Would you like to smell the bottle cap?" Is that right?
And then also he did a great short. It was actually up for an Academy Award called The Mindless Waiter.
Absent-minded waiter.
Yeah, good stuff. Terry Garr is in it, and Buck Henry.
Awesome.
Yeah, look it up. All right, number four for you, Joseph, is what?
A food that basically made the censors balk at the movie itself and want to give it an X rating. Critics said that they witnessed females in the audience shriek and faint in the audience.
This is my kind of list. What is it?
Do I got your attention?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The item is butter. Paris, 1972.
I knew it. I was going to declare a no butter podcast at the beginning of this, but I didn't. Go ahead.
You know what? You have to put this in. I'm not going to say what they do with the butter.
We have to send this to the future.
You know, the future needs to watch the movies to figure out what Marlon Brando is up to with the butter. But my number four is Last Tango in Paris.
Wow. Margarine.
Yeah, you really can't say much more. Just butter and Brando. And all right. Jason, you're number four.
Well, you talked a second ago about hard-boiled eggs. I have not one, not two, not three, not four, but five raw eggs, which was Rocky's breakfast in 1976.
My number three, Jason, we have a match.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever done it? I've thought, like, what would that be like? It's got to be tasty. It's
salmonella. That's what it is.
It's what it is. It's future diarrhea is what it is. That's right.
Yeah. No, I, you know, I was inspired by the movie. I immediately went running and did all that stuff when I was a kid, but never actually tried the egg thing. So,
oh, wow. We all have a goal. No, I've never done it, but why don't we all do it on Eclipse Day? That'll be the way we start the day.
Wow.
Five raw eggs.
Of course, yeah, and the great scene about too, he's just starts training. So that's when he's like completely out of shape. So he has the eggs in the morning, and they have that terrible morning show on from Philadelphia that he turns on. That it's not even a radio.
It's a speaker.
Was it Letterman that did the raw eggs with him? He did it on a talk show, and one of the talk show hosts did it with him.
Wow.
I'm not sure if it was Letterman or not. If it was that, but the funny thing is, I think we've all been there where our radio's falling apart, and you just have the speaker, and you've fixed it where you can turn it on and off. I've had that before. So he turns that on, then he drinks it, of course, and goes out and has that has the whole run doesn't end up good, not like at the end of the movie. But yeah, raw eggs, good one, Jason.
It was 4 in the morning too. I looked at the alarm clock. 4 in the morning.
And the song is playing is by Bill Conti. It's called Philadelphia Morning from the soundtrack. You just know he's gonna fail when you hear the song.
Oddly enough, that's the same sound Rocky makes with his body after the run.
But it's amazing. Still like the Rocky, it's still the Rocky tune, but it's like all right, great soundtrack. So my number 4 is Aurora's Chicken Pepperoni.
Times,
the classic Chevy Chase, Charles Grodin, Goldie Hawn movie. The whole comes to a head when they, you know, we find out that Nick Goldie Hawn's husband, who accidentally robbed a bank, was forced to rob a bank, is back in town, and they have this whole kind of dinner scene at the end that revolves around Aurora's award-winning chicken pepperoni. They talk about it a lot during the movie, at least the last half, and then you actually see it. Chester, actually, who works for Goldie Hawn's character hires a bunch of cons to work for her. So Chester is serving it, and then we find Chevy Chase serving it, and we have a whole fight scene over the chicken pepperoni.
And they have to serve the chicken pepperoni because Aurora had to go get
her beet scrape.
That's right.
That's right.
Which is two things. That first of all, I was a kid. I was like, what is chicken pepperoni? And what is getting your feet scraped? That just sounds both of those things too. I was educated watching this movie. But that is my number 4. So on to your number 3, Joseph. What do you got?
The most emotional scene ever filmed over mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Nice.
Terry Gard just looks over and watches her husband, Richard Dreyfuss, go mad, making the Devil's Tower with mashed potatoes.
Show of hands, who has done that with mashed potatoes in their younger lives?
Especially after that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Drive your mom crazy. What are you doing? Close Encounters.
Quit playing with your food. Something. This means something.
All right, Jason, what is your number 3?
My number 3 is much more tasty. It is a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Ah.
In Super Size Me, the 2004 movie.
Wow.
Although it is a documentary, when Morgan Spurlock just eats and eats and eats, and he gains like 25 pounds, and there's all kinds of questions about whether, you know, he was really, you know, overeating it and overdoing it. It was definitely unhealthy and what the time frame actually was. But nevertheless, it was a double quarter pounder with cheese. And when I went back and watched some of that today, I got a little hungry. He said, look at the size of these fries. I'm like, I would like the size of those fries. Can I make that a double, please?
It's kind of like when you watch the whale, and when he eats those pizzas, you don't eat pizza for like 3 weeks at least, you know. Just like the way he eats that and the chicken, you're like,
I love McDonald's fries, so good for you, Morgan Spurlock. I should have said the fries. What am I doing? Double quarter of cheese. I'm changing it. I'm changing on the fly. Supersize fries. That's my number 3.
Do they still do the supersize? They do like a larger size, but
I don't know if that movie killed it. It may have, you know,
they
killed
used
the whole
to do,
I don't know.
Like
so. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and it brags being the third fattest city, you know, thank you, New Orleans. for always being in the forefront. And I think it's like, I think it's South Carolina, city in South Carolina and New Orleans. So San Antonio, you know, we're comfortable with our plus size being third. But at one time, because I know it wasn't in every city, we had humongo size.
They had that. You're right. I was trying to think of what the biggest one was, and
Humongo size?
Humongo was size like was basically like a large cup, like their large cups, and they would just fill it up with French fries. So it was like a double order of fries.
It was meant for like families. Bowl. It was meant for families like buying biggers and stuff, but it was like people would actually buy them for themselves, and that's what they got.
That sounds great.
Oh, I did. I totally did.
I love it. Sounds great.
I have the human guy says, oh, dinner with the family tonight? Huh? my number three is Rocky and the Raw Eggs, our only entry that's made it in so far.
Nice.
On to number two, Joseph. What do you got?
I'm gonna play a game of hearts with you guys. I'm definitely thinking that this is gonna be a match. We're gonna match on this. I'm just going to say the line, I'll have what she's having. It's pastrami sandwich at Katz. It's When Harry Met Sally, 1989.
Jason, do you have it? Because I don't have it.
I don't have it. But that's an awesome line by Rob Reiner's mom.
Wow. Yeah. So that is actual mother on there. It's probably the most famous sandwich scene ever shot on film. So that's my number two.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally.
I've actually been there. They've got like a little marking there. Have you been there, Jason, to the Katz in New York to see where the.
I've never been to the Katz in New York. I've been to the Katz in Austin. But do they have like a special
Katz never platter
named after the orgasm sandwich or something?
No, they don't. They just have it. Yeah.
it's never really. Closes. Yeah, it's really large, really loud, and just way too busy for me. I got really anxious whenever I went there. I was like, I don't like this. I feel like
it's like the whole old movie trick. They make these places look a lot better than they actually are. When you go there, it's like, oh, okay, this is it. You know that whole
thing.
It seems like it'd be really crowded too. It wasn't really big. Yeah.
All right, number two for you, Jason.
My number two is something I would like to wash down with your Sprite, and that is the Big Kahuna Burger. That's right. not in Reservoir Dogs, which is where it first appeared, but in Pulp Fiction, in the scene when Samuel Jackson Tasty and John Travolta go to talk to the business associates, Brett and Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
And what are you having for breakfast? A Big Kahuna Burger. Ah, yes. What is it? The
Breakfast Champions or whatever.
Breakfast of Champions, a nutritious breakfast. Cornerstone of every nutritious breakfast. Big Kahuna Burger. Have you ever had one that's actually a burger?
Really?
You can go to a big Kahuna Burger chain in some places in California.
I thought that was like his cigarettes. Red apple or whatever.
Red apples. That's right. Yeah. You can have a Big Kahuna Burger and red apples. That's the supersized order.
Wow. My number two, animated. Buena Notte. I'm talking about Lady and the Tramp, Spaghetti and Meatballs, most famous kissing scene of all time. It's been parodied, of course, in the Hot Shots movie and tons of other movies. But it doesn't get more romantic than the owner making the spaghetti meatballs and playing the accordion. But I know Butch is his partner. He goes, hey, Butch, you know. The whole Lady and the Tramp scene, the classic scene between the two dogs, is my number two best.
Well, it makes it in because it's my number one.
Whoa. Yes,
that's right. I was like, if there's one food scene that is, you know, like cinematic, iconic, you know, kind of thing, it has to be the plate of pasta and meatballs in the back of the alley. Nice. Almost as memorable as Last Tango in Paris, but pretty good. And that's why it's my number one. So it makes it in.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's controversial. All right. So we are almost there. Jason, what is your number one?
Well, I hope you've noticed that mine have gone from totally disgusting to a lot more tasty as we've been going along. And this one is definitely the best on my list. It is Franklin's Barbecue, which is an iconic place here in Austin, Texas. It is from the movie Chef.
Wow.
When the truck goes driving through Austin, Texas, and John Favreau and John Leguizamo and the kid MJ, They're meeting with Aaron Franklin to get some barbecue, which they're going to use to make some sliders. They're going to get some King's Hawaiian bread, some pickles, some barbecue sauce, and they're going to change it up. And so instead of Cubanos, they're making Franklin's barbecue sliders. And chef, I want one right now.
Do you ever go, Jason, and wait in line at like 4 o'clock in the morning?
No. I've done it one time, and other times I've picked it up. It's very good barbecue. They would be a great sponsor of this podcast. What's that?
Are they open 24 hours?
No, they're cooking 24 hours, but they're not open 24
hours. Okay, I thought Joseph said 4 in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes the line starts that early, and people have to, because they sell out.
That's crazy.
The best barbecue in Texas is not Franklin's barbecue. The best barbecue I'm going to put on this podcast is Truth Barbecue in Brenham. Hands down, best barbecue.
And that's the truth, Ruth.
That is the truth. Fantastic.
Is that done by the 72-year-old lady?
Truth?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't ask anyone's age. It just tasted good. There's
a documentary on barbecue, and there was I will have to look it up. That's another topic. Excuse me.
Is there a 72-year-old lady here cooking this? No. Okay, I will be leaving now.
It was good. Line out the door and everything. Yeah.
All right, my number one, a movie that really influenced me as a kid from 1976, Alan Parker, who made Pink Floyd's The Wall, made Bugsy Malone with Jodie Foster, Scott Baio, and of course they had the whole gangster thing with kid gangsters. And instead of using fire or guns, machine guns, because this is a kid's movie, they used whipped cream. And it was like a death by custard, I'm going to call it. And it really kind of was kind of crazy when you see, you know, after The Godfather and stuff like this, as a kid, you see somebody get whipped creamed and they actually die by custard. So I thought it was kind of the coolest way to have a kid's movie that was gangster. The characters actually die by custard. They don't come back, I wipe the custard off and I'm okay. They actually end up dying in the movie, which is kind of strange. But the custard, or the whipped cream from Bugsy Malone in all the death scenes, is my number one food in a movie.
So that's great. I was trying to think of a pie in the face situation, and that's the one I should have thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
And also you have all those good Paul Williams songs. It's kind of weird. You see all these kids and the voice coming out is Paul Williams, like this like 5-year-old kid. Now you're gonna be that whole Tin Pan Alley thing. But the songs are great. The movie's great. And it was hard to find for a while, but now I'm seeing more Bugsy Malone love. So
Bugsy Malone.
That'd be an interesting remake. Would they be able to remake that today?
They could totally do it. Jodie Foster could do it. She's still got it. She can throw some whipped cream at somebody.
Scott Baio.
There'd be a question. What was her first name in the movie?
Rosie? What was it?
No, Rosie was one of the characters. That's pretty good. Okay. That was like the love interest of Scott Baio.
Okay.
But Jodie Foster was Tallulah.
In
a salute to Tallulah Bankhead, who was one of the stars of that time. So there you go. All right. So we got two in. We got Rocky and we have
Lady and the Tramp.
Okay.
Okay. So what we have to choose from is Cool Hand Luke's 50 Hard Boiled Eggs. We have Last Tango in Paris, The Butter, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Mashed Potatoes, When Harry Met Sally, The Pastrami Sandwich. We have The Bowl of Snot in The Matrix, The Double Quarter Pounder with Cheese, that sounds delicious to Jason in Super Size Me, The Kahuna Burger, which also looked very good,
and very good for Jason.
Very much lethal too. Franklin's Barbecue in Chef, Escargot in The Jerk. Aurora's Chicken plate. Pepperoni in Seems Like Old Time, and Bugsy Malone's The Custard Pie or Custard Fights.
Yes. Custard
used as a weapon. Custard.
I'm going to have to make a beg and plead. Stephanie's really mad at me right now. We have to have Chicken Pepperoni. She loves that movie. She loves the whole Aurora feet scrape thing. We got to have it on the list. Please, guys, help me out.
Chicken Pepperoni.
Okay. I will agree to that.
I'm going to say like Charles Grodin real quick. We're having Aurora's Chicken Pepperoni. You got to come over, Fred. You got to make the Chicken Pepperoni.
We Aurora's have three. Now we have three with chicken pepperoni.
The raw eggs is pretty good, but the hard boiled eggs, that's pretty good.
We can choose an egg thing, yeah.
Yeah. It's 50. It's bigger than five. It's
bigger than five.
Yeah. And
okay, and, so we have eggs.
We go with Paul Newman. That's good.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a classic. That's a classic one on there. So now we have I don't think Snot's gonna make it.
No,
Jason. No. I don't think Snot's gonna make it.
Well, it's kind of like snails. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. They cancel each other out.
Exactly. So I like escargot. I think that's a hilarious thing with the jerk on there. I like the Kahuna Burger. I
think Kahuna
Burger.
It's iconic. Everyone knows the Big Kahuna Burger.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
we could choose butter. I'm just saying.
I don't want to send butter into the future. Poor kids will be like traumatized, and you know. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Like, so what's the final five then, Joseph?
Okay, so I think that we're looking at the Kahuna Burger or escargot.
Big Kahuna Burger. I was saying the bowl of snot is like the escargot. It's like the snails. They cancel each other out.
Okay. I'm okay with Kahuna Burger. Are you okay with Kahuna Burger?
I'm okay with that. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we have in our five, Cool Hand Luke's 50 hard-boiled eggs, Lady and the Tramp, Rocky's eggs, the Kahuna Burger, and Aurora's chicken pepperoni.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thanks, guys. Gotta make the chicken pepperoni.
So good.
You gotta come over, Governor. She's making chicken pepperoni.
She Aurora's says, Aurora, you got to have your feet scraped.
The dogs start barking because they know.
I almost chose the Chevy Chase with that chicken. The way he eats that chicken after not eating for days, he's like, look away. You're not going to want to see this. <It's> like, there's that chicken. Good stuff.
That's a great
and then
movie.
Oh, the Zagnut bar too, where he goes and tries to get that from the thing and it's stale. Change your candy bars. all right. Well, there's the final list. Any final thoughts about food in movies?
No, I think we've done it. I do think now we need to have a Charles Grodin episode because I can't get enough Grodin.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So good.
Good. Wow. Yeah. What's your problem with the Chicago Police Department? What's your problem with the Chicago Police Department? Why are you unpopular in the Chicago Police Department? Would you shut up? Why are you so unpopular with the Chicago Police Department?
Midnight Run.
Fantastic.
Oh, and the classic from the Steve Martin documentary, they showed a lot of Lonely Guy, which I was excited
about. Did they?
Yeah.
They did. Wow. I was very excited about
that. They used it for his like loneliness, actually, for him like not finding it. Yeah. How long have you been a lonely guy? Why don't you try to get yourself a dog? Dogs are great. They lick you. They love on you. They don't have to like you. It's their instinct.
That's hilarious.
Good stuff. Yeah, that might have to be one the best five of Charles Grodin we send into the future. So I'll wake you right to the home office and see if that's something they're interested in.
We'll see.
Good stuff. All right. Well, that wraps up the show. Remember, there's always tomorrow.
And you got to eat your raw eggs on eclipse morning.
Or your bowl of snot.
That's right.
Or Aurora's chicken pepperoni. You gotta have that, Aurora. You gotta come over for the chicken pepperoni.
Awesome.